Good morning. Let's turn, please, to Genesis, and it's the chapter 22 that we are still in. This is a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus that we are considering, namely the taking of Isaac to the mountains of Moriah by Abraham in obedience to God's command, and there Abraham was prepared to sacrifice his son, even as God directed him. It's a picture that we can look at many times and see something more and something new. Sometimes, perhaps you have heard about, maybe one day you will see some of the great paintings from years ago that almost would fill a wall. Maybe some great historic scene, like the Battle of Waterloo. And the artist has taken great patience and time to fill in detail after detail after detail after detail so that you could stand there a whole afternoon and pick out different little events that are taking place in that masterpiece. And if you were to come back another afternoon, the chances are you would pick out some more things that you had missed. Well, the picture that God has given us here of the Lord Jesus and his work and his mercy and his love and his salvation in the story of Isaac on Mount Moriah is just like that. We could come back again and again and again. I hope that you are now alert and keen to see something new. Not half asleep, not sort of dozing, but keen to see something new. We have looked at the significance of the place to which God directed Abraham. We are told in the verse 2 of chapter 22 of Genesis, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah." And we discovered that that land, that area, because we're not talking about a huge land, we're just talking about an area within Israel, that area was centered upon the city of Jerusalem and upon the hilltops that are found within that city, within that city. You see there at the end of verse 2, that the Lord says, one of the mountains. So there were more than just one mountain in that area. There was a range of hills, the mountains of Moriah. One of the mountains, most certainly, was the Temple Mount. And that lies right over on the eastern edge of the city of Jerusalem. If you can get a mental picture of the city of Jerusalem, the big circle of walls, then over here on the right, my right, is the Mount of Olives. Well, when you're on the Mount of Olives, and usually pictures of Jerusalem are taken from the Mount of Olives, you're looking right down on the Temple Mount. You're looking right down on it. Well, if you followed the little line of hills, mile, 2 miles, you would come to another very famous hill, Mount Calvary. Mount Calvary. And it is also part of that range of hills, the mountains of Moriah. We're not told specifically where among those hills Isaac was led upon the altar, but I'm inclined to think that it was on Mount Calvary. A perfect picture of what would happen some 2,000 years after Abraham took Isaac there, when the Lord Jesus Christ became the sacrifice for our sin. We looked at that. We saw also in Isaac carrying the wood that was to be used in the fire, that was to be used in the sacrifice, a picture of the Lord Jesus carrying his cross. Carrying his cross. The instrument upon which he was to be slain, the Savior, after he has been judged, and after he has been abused, and mocked, and scourged, and made little of by the soldiers, is made to carry his cross for a little bit, and then, because of the weakened state of his body, another man is made to carry the cross for him. Simon the Cyrenian. The Lord, because of the beatings that he had suffered, was unable to carry the cross, and so Simon was made to carry the cross for him. I don't know why they picked on Simon. I don't know why. There must have been something about him that to the Roman soldiers indicated that he was in sympathy with the Lord Jesus. I'm only speculating now, but who knows? while the Saviour was stumbling, who knows, but Simon showed great compassion and concern and maybe rushed out from the crowd to sustain and help the Lord. And that's when the Roman soldiers perhaps made him then take over the task of carrying the cross. I don't know what it was that prompted that decision by the soldiers, but he was made to carry the cross. We have a picture of that event, of the Saviour carrying the cross, in Isaac carrying the wood. Now, there's one thing I want to look at today. I mentioned when we started this study the age of Isaac. Do you remember? I said that he likely was a full-grown man in his late teens, maybe his early 20s. He certainly wasn't a little boy. He was a full-grown man. And I think that that's confirmed, as I told you, by the fact that he was carrying this load of wood, something that a wee boy couldn't do. It would take someone fully grown. Now, that's significant. Because as they started for Mount Moriah, having left the servants behind, we read in verse 7 of Isaac speaking to his father. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? He was beginning to notice. He was beginning to notice that there's something missing here. My father is going to offer a sacrifice. Here's the wood, here's the fire, and he's carrying a knife. But where is the sacrifice? Where is the sacrifice? And perhaps in the countenance of his father, he saw great anxiety and sorrow and concern. Because Abraham was bound to have had all those feelings, knowing what he was about to do at God's command, offer his son, slay his son, kill his son. That was bound to have shown on the countenance of Abraham. So Isaac was beginning to look on things and puzzle things out. And he says, Father, where's the lamb? And his father's answer said, verse 8, My son God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. That didn't really clarify things too much. And there was a mystery here as far as Isaac was concerned. I'm inclined to believe that as they walked and as Isaac thought about this all, he realized, I'm the sacrifice. I'm the sacrifice. Now, he had to realize this at some stage because we read further down the chapter, verse 9, they came to the place which God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, if Isaac hadn't already discovered or concluded that he was the sacrifice, he knew it now. He knew it now. He was bound. Do you know why they bound Isaac? For the same reason that the martyrs in the Reformation time, when taken out, were tied to the stake, oftentimes by chains, because no person could stand amidst the fire without giving way to that natural impulse of getting away from the fire. And Isaac was bound because once the fire was started and he began to feel the heat of it, the instincts of the body would take over and he would jump up from the altar to get away from the burning of the fire. So he was bound. Now, what I said earlier about the age and the size of Isaac now becomes significant. Isaac was big enough to carry that load of timber, which meant that he was big enough to resist his father, who was well over 100 years of age at that time. He was well able to jump up when his father began to attempt to bind him, throw his father off, and run, escape. There was nobody else there with Abraham to help bind Isaac. The servants had been left behind a little distance away. And boys and girls, we have to notice that Isaac quietly submitted to his father. That's important for us to know. That's important for us to notice because that's a chief feature of Calvary. There's a hymn that speaks of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, and it says, It was not the nails that bound him there, but rather the Savior stayed on the cross willingly, because of his love for his people and his obedience to his father. Now, we're going to come back to this on Thursday in the will of the Lord, but I do want to start by pointing out to you a number of things wherein there is a parallel between the willingness of Isaac and the much, much greater willingness of the Lord Jesus. We talked about Isaac maybe beginning to wonder what's going on here. He asked the question, where's the lamb? I don't think at that moment he knew that he was to be the sacrifice, but consequent to that, he realized, I'm the sacrifice. But the Lord Jesus, he knew from all eternity, he knew that he was to die at Calvary. In Revelation chapter 13 and the verse 8, we read that he is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. His death was decreed from eternity. And it was a death decreed by the Father in absolute conjunction with the Son. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ was part of the great eternal covenant that the Son entered into with the Father, whereby the Son agreed to die in the place of his people, and the Father agreed that he would accept his death as the ransom for the sins of his people. So before the earth in order stood, the Lord Jesus agreed to die. It didn't come as any surprise to him, you know. And you will find as you're reading through the Gospels that the Lord Jesus gently told the disciples what was going to happen when he went to Jerusalem on his final visit. He would be arrested, he would be scourged, he would be found guilty by wicked men, and he would die. He would die. And never at any point did he resist his Father's will. Never once. We'll look at that a little closer next time we are together. But just remember this. When the Lord Jesus was 12 years of age. Who's 12 here today? Some of you? Yes, indeed. 12. That's the age. You're the age the Lord Jesus was at. When he was in Jerusalem with Mary, his mother, and with Joseph. You remember, they headed off home and forgot about him. Busy gossiping with their friends and neighbors. And they forgot about the Lord. And they left him behind. And after 3 days of searching, they came back to where they had left him. In the temple. And they scolded him. Most improperly. But the Lord Jesus was not at fault. And do you remember how he answered them? Wist ye not, or know ye not, that I must be about my Father's business. At 12 years of age, he knew his Father's business. He knew. He knew why he was on the earth. He had come to die. He had come to die. But never, never once did my Savior show the slightest resistance. And that's pictured for us in the story of Isaac, willingly submitting himself, being bound and led upon the altar. Oh, boys and girls, we are forever showing resistance to God's will. We're so slow to do what's pleasing to God, to do God's bidding. We're slow. We fight it. But the Lord Jesus never, never once showed the slightest hesitation about going to the cross to die for you. Never once. Give thought to that. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we thank thee today for the wonderful willingness of the Lord Jesus. We can't take it in, Lord. We can't take it in. Was it for me alone, the Savior left his wondrous throne? It was for me. All for me. Lord, I pray that you will write your word upon the hearts of the boys and girls today and bless the school for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.